Okay, while we're getting ready, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. We are moving on and almost coming to the end of the book, and the end of our series. Laver was so kind to cover for me last week, so thank you for that. And I was able to catch the message online this week, and thank you very much for walking us through a very difficult passage and feeding us for this week. And we're picking up the theme of Paul writing to the Galatians on the subject of freedom, and this is where Paul really comes to the head of his argument, which is stated in verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. I've said it before that if you could summarize the book of Galatians in one word, I would choose the word freedom. As he's mentioned there, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 6, and let's go ahead and read the scriptures. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Amen. And so here we are at this critical part in the letter where Paul is just basically saying to the Galatians, after having told them and argued with them and just expressed his frustration with them, you know, I've fathered you in the faith, I've helped you grow up and to understand the joy and the power and the good life that Helen talked about, of knowing Jesus, not having religion to God, but having a relationship with God, and how wonderful life can be when you have God. Paul taught them all these things, and after he left to establish other churches, these other people called the Judaizers came in and put on these chains called religion and rules, saying that you have to take on the Jewish diet, you have to observe the Jewish holidays, the men have to become circumcised. And boy, that is not a good thing at all, spiritually or physically. I'm a Filipino, and our custom is not like the North American or European tradition of being circumcised, or the Jewish tradition of being circumcised a few days after you're born. Filipinos get it done a years when you're 13 years old. It's a rite of passage to become a man. And I reached that rite of passage when I was 13. I was in my summer vacation, and I was with my grandmother, and she says, "Let's get it done." And she called my cousins living in the next town over, and they said, let's get the three of them done tomorrow. So I said, okay, sure, you know, whatever. And I had no idea the pain and the tribulations that were a part of my people's custom. And so when Paul talks about, you know, it's just don't even bother letting yourself be circumcised, you grown men. I can relate to the Galatians saying, no, you don't want to follow what these people are telling you. It's not the circumcision of the body, but the circumcision of the heart, where God just cuts away the sin and the shame and the guilt and all those things, and you understand what it is to have freedom. And what is this freedom that we have? It's freedom from so many things. Our subject this week is walking in freedom. Walking in freedom. And the reason why we're using that is because in this chapter, and I'll get to that later on, not this week, but in the weeks to follow, in verse 25 of the chapter, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And the image is of a person walking, two people walking together step by step. And we need to keep in step with God, the Holy Spirit. God is leading us in our life in Christ. God is taking us somewhere. And that where He's taking us is more freedom, more joy, more power, more abundance in life. Kyohei has been walking for a couple of months now, maybe half a year now, and you know, he's just 2 years old, and I have to hold his hand when we walk together. Otherwise, he's all over the place, right? And I say, you better hold my hand. And you need to keep in step with me, because it's not where you're taking me, it's where I'm taking you, Kyohei. And that's our walk with God, is that God is taking us somewhere where He wants us to go, and it is a place of freedom, and we need to walk in that freedom. So we're keeping in step with the Spirit of God. And what's the freedom from? Well, the Bible has so many things that we are free from. We have freedom from sin. It says that in Romans 7:24, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Because in that chapter, if you know, Paul is talking about what it means to be trapped in sin and just unable to have no power to overcome sin. People who don't know Jesus, who don't have God, they have no other way to live without sin. It's just a lifestyle. It's just what you know. And it's a miserable lifestyle. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the enemy, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Kill, steal our joy, kill our life, and destroy our life. But I have come. Jesus has come so that we can have life and life abundant. And it is just miserable when you're living and trapped in sin and you have no power to overcome. And let me tell you, for us who are in Christ Jesus, we have that freedom now. And I understand that sometimes it's hard, even though we have Jesus Christ and we have become Christians, and it's still a struggle. We struggle with sin and we struggle to have overcome our sin. Thanks be to Jesus Christ that though we do sin, we are not condemned any longer. It says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now, if you are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free from guilt. We are free from shame and, oh God, I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person. I'm worthless. I'm not a Christian. I can't do the right thing. That's not true. Those are lies. And we are free from the lies of Satan that says you are worthless to God. No. That's a lie. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. And we can be free of those negative thoughts those negative accusations that come from Satan, and he says, you think you're a Christian? You've been saved how many years now, and you still can't overcome this sin? Are you sure you're a Christian? Do you really believe God loves you? Those are lies, because the truth of the word is, he loves us. He loves us with a love that is willing to die for us. And so we are free from lies of Satan. And we're also free from religion. Jesus was talking to Bible scholars John chapter 8. They're asking him all these questions, and he says, it's not about religion. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship with me, because if you know me, you know the truth. If you follow my commandments, and I'll talk about his commandments in a minute, but if you follow my commandments, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from all these rules and regulations of trying to be right with God. So, you know, there's just, and this is just a small list of all these things that we are free from. In the end of the chapter, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul lists a bunch of other things that we can be free from in our life. And it's just going to be a good little bit of walking here. But I want us to look at what it means to walk in freedom. And as Paul outlines for us in a very practical way in Galatians chapter 5, one aspect of walking step by step in freedom is walking in faith. Walking in faith. He says there in verse 5, but by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. A walking in freedom means walking by faith. And what does that mean to walk by faith? Faith is, in Hebrews, it says that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. It means that, God, I can't see you, I can't even touch you, but I know in my heart of hearts you are real, that this word that you spoke to me is the truth, and my life, day by day, needs to be with you. It will be better with God than without God. That is walking by faith, day by day. The Japanese sign language for the word faith is, I think, this. Oh, no. It used to be this. It changed a few years back, if you remember. It used to be basically man, and this was man, and this was God, and God was holding on to man. And that was the Shua, the Japanese sign language for faith, God holding on to man. And then they changed it recently to this. And this is a symbol of a man holding on to a rope. And that is what the Japanese Christians use when they talk about faith, is God is my rope. Actually, faith is the rope, and I'm just holding on with all of my power to God. But, you know, and whether it's this one or it's this one, either way, it works for me. Because, you know, in faith, God is the one actually holding us. It's His grace that keeps us together. But if it's this one, yes, we're hanging on. We're saying, God, I will not let go of you. My job is terrible right now. I feel terrible. I'm sick. Right now I'm lonely. There's no one else to hold on to. But God, I'm going to hold on to you, and I will not let go. I'm in a country where no one understands me. I'm in a place where I can't communicate with people. I'm having frustrating times even with myself. But I'm not going to let go. I can't let go. No matter how hard it's going to be, I'm not going to let go. And I can't even get myself up out of bed, but it's that faith that's going to pull me up. Hallelujah. That is walking in faith. And why faith? Because faith is how we experience the grace of God. Let me say that one more time. It is by faith that we experience God's grace. It is by faith that we receive God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The Galatians were falling from grace. They were falling away from grace. They were letting go of God's rope, and they were trying to grab on to their own rope that they made. God provided a way for them to have a relationship with God through faith, and it was called grace. But the Galatians said, "Okay, no. We can get circumcised. We can follow rules. It's better. It's easier that way. It's easier to follow rules and to follow something that we know than it is to follow something we can't see." And so they were falling away from grace, as Paul said there. I think it was in verse 4, right? "You have fallen away from grace. You're not using faith anymore, but you're using these works, salvation through works, circumcision and a diet and things like that." But what is grace then? Grace is the favor of God. And many people say it's getting from God what you don't deserve. That's true. It's the favor of God. Favor means basically God just likes you. I'm a teacher. I have 186 students, and I'll be honest, I have favorite students. Okay, there's some students I favor more than others. I shouldn't. I know it's not right, you know, but some students are just better than other students, you know. There's one kid I had to just get on his case. He was outside playing with his friends. I said, "What are you doing? You haven't turned in any of your homework for the last 2 weeks. You should not be playing outside with your... Get back in the classroom, get your homework done, and turn it into me."
"Okay, yes, sir."
Not one of the kids that I favor, okay? There was another kid. Oh, this is terrible. I can't believe I'm recording this. But another kid, he comes up to me and he says, "You know, I have a sheet that where I record all of their homework, which the homework that they've done and the homework they haven't done. I have it all in my little record." And one kid comes up, and there's one missing, one homework that's missing, and it was my fault. I knew that. And he comes up, he says, "Teacher, you know, I think I've got one missing, but I know I turned it in." And I said, "Yeah, I think you did, so I'm just going to circle it for you. You know, it's between you and me. Because I like the guy. He's a good guy, you know." He has my favor. So I give him grace. But grace is the favor of God that accomplishes the will of God in our lives. And what does that mean? Basically means this. God wants to bless our lives. That's the truth. God wants to be in our lives. God wants to do things in our lives. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, a plan to give us a hope and a future. He works all things together for the good of those who love. God has good things waiting for us in our lives. But they do not happen until we are willing to receive them through faith. And those good things are His grace. And those things get done by His power, His might, and that's what grace is. Grace is God's power to do those good things He has for us. Grace is that ability to see those good things being accomplished in our lives. And back in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about Noah finding favor in the eyes of God. God chose Noah. Not like me, choosing my favorite students. But it wasn't because Noah was a good guy. It was because God just picked him. It was God is good, and he sovereignly chose Noah for His own purposes. And in order for Noah to be able to accomplish God's will, it was only through God's grace, his favor. My friends, brothers and sisters, we need the grace of God. We will end up miserable. We will end up lost and lonely. We will end up in darkness without the grace of God. It is by grace we have been saved. Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace to get me through this day. Lord, I'm about to meet some people that you know I do not like. And Lord, I know they don't like me. I need your grace. Lord, my family is just acting just crazy right now. And if I meet them and I go crazy, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I need your grace, God. I need your power, your ability to be able to love them the way you love them. I need your grace. And just praying that prayer, asking God to give you that grace, that's faith. That is walking by faith. And so, man, without the grace of God, we are lost in our sin. So walking in freedom is walking in faith. And Paul also shows us that it is also walking in love. Walking in love. It says in verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Faith expressing itself through love. So the second thing about walking in freedom is walking in love. You know, as a Christian coming to Japan, one of the reasons I came to Japan was I wanted to live in a country with fewer Christians. You know, in America, it's a quote-unquote Christian country. Basically, you know, there's a church in many places in America. But in Japan, not so many churches, not so many Christians. And I like that. I like being, I don't know, black sheep or going against the flow. It's just, I like to stand out. I stand out enough as it is with my height. But coming to Japan as a Christian, you meet other Christians. And, you know, people sometimes say, oh, you know, Japan is lost. We need to reach Japan for Jesus. And we need to, you know, fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission is where Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28. He says, go out, baptize men, teaching them to follow my commandments, making disciples. And so, you know, lots of Christians say, you know, we come to Japan, I'm here to just reach the lost, preach the word, build a church, that kind of thing. And I think, yes, that's very true. As Christians, as a church, that's what we have, the handbell choir concert, we have the gospel choir concert. We want to reach the lost. We want to see God saving Hiroshima. But Jesus also gave us not the Great Commission, but the Great Commandment. And I think it's a fault of some Christians who come to Japan thinking only of the Great Commission, but forgetting about the Great Commandment. And that is the commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's a pity, because some of the Christians that I meet, I don't know if you've met them, I've met them. They love the Lord with all their heart, but they could care less about people. Some of the meanest, some of the most arrogant, some of the most disgusting people can be Christians, because they could care less about the people that God sent them to. And it hurts me, I think, when I meet people who are just mean, but they know their Bible, they know the scriptures in and out, but they don't know the love of God. It is the great command. We need to walk in love, because the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Our experience in this country will be so much better if we understand more and more walking in love, being in kindness. So I want to just sit on that, marinate on that for just the last bit of this message and also for next week. What does it mean to walk in love? And I think, I didn't make any more slides. Okay. Walking in love. If you look there, Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. With all your soul and with all your mind. He's quoting the Bible. He was talking to some religious people, and they asked him, what's the greatest verse in the Bible? What's the greatest command in the Bible? And he said, without hesitation, it's this one, love the Lord your God. And it's a command. Like, you know, when I tell my students, do your homework, I'm commanding them, do your homework. God is telling us, love me. It's a God is commanding us to love Him. And for many people, it's strange to understand that love can be a command. Because for many of us, especially when we're young, love is not about a choice or a decision to obey. Love is a feeling. It is that emotion. You know, when I looked across the room and I saw her face, and she looked at me, and I felt something I never felt before. You know, and we were at the same Hanami party, and she poured my tea, you know, and we felt, and if I were to ask you, you know, how did you meet your partner? Oh, when we fell in love, it was the summer of 1954, or something like that. Right? And we had that, and you talk about the feeling of love. All right. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. Okay. right. But that feeling. And the Bible says, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The Greek word is the eros love, erotic love. That is that romantic love that we have. But for those of us who know, that's not going to last past the, you know, first month or year. Sometimes the honeymoon lasts that first week. And there's no more of that love that you're just gushing about. You know, you fall into love and then you crawl out of it sometimes. So, you know, it's good. And one author says, you know, love is a good, that eros, romantic love is a good feature of a home or a family. But it's not the foundation of a home or family. The Bible talks about a friendly love, that brotherly love, phileo love, Philadelphia, that human-to-human love where you're just being kind to each other, right? It's just nice to be nice. You can hold the door open. One of my biggest culture shocks when I came to Japan is, boy, people are just so nice here. People are so kind. One email that I saw from Roy says, you know, this is a service-oriented culture, meaning people just, you know, they serve each other and they treat with each other with respect. And that's that brotherly love, that because you are a human being and I'm a human being, you're no better than I am, I'm no better than you, we treat each other as equals. And that's that brotherly love. But sometimes that friendship fails, doesn't it? You know, I know people who have broken up friendships. You know, you're close and you're together, you're tight, and something happens, you have a disagreement, a situation happens, and what happens? That ends. And so, you know, there's that brotherly love, but again, it's a nice feature in our life, but it's not something you build your life on. There's that other love, the family love. There's a romantic love, friendly love. There's a family love, storge. It's from the stomach. It's that love of a mother to her child. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to bring you up. Even though you've got snot coming out of your nose and, you know, you're crying all the time. You keep me up half the night, but I still love you because you're mine. There's that kind of love. But even that has its limits. But God gives us a greater love. It's that agape love. And it's that love that obeys the command. John says in his letter, 1 John, he says, we love God because he first loved us. What is that love? It's that choosing love. It's not the feeling love. It's the choice to love. It's that choice to love, especially when that person is not lovable. I support my basketball team back home. And right now, we're the world champions. We won the championship this year. But a few years ago, we were at the bottom of the basketball list. But I still loved them. I still loved my team. And when we were at the bottom, I was at the bottom. And I still supported them. I still read their articles. I still, I talked about my favorite players. I still checked up on their scores as often as I could. I wanted to make sure we've got the good players and we're not spending too much money on certain things, on unnecessary. I want us to be getting better. And I always poured my affection, my interest on this team that wasn't doing well. But despite that fact that they're a terrible team, they lost to the worst teams, and that made us even worse. Despite that fact, I still loved them, and I supported them. They're still my team. And not only that, but there are some other teams that I choose not to love, because it's just by principle. I don't like them at all because of what they are. And I choose not to love. It's not because, they did anything against me. But it's because, that's who they are. And if there's another team playing them, I'll root for the other team just so that they do bad. Because I choose for them not to succeed. And that is the love that God has for us. He chooses this love for us. It's not romantic. It's beyond romance. It's beyond the feeling. But anyway, it is this love that we receive from God. That's that first step in walking in love. The first step is receiving God's love. God, thank you that you chose to love me despite the fact that I'm a sinner, despite the fact that I mess up and fail. Lord, this week I dropped the ball. I've neglected what I should be doing. I haven't lived up to the calling. Oh, but God loves me still. And He still accepts me. He says, okay, change what you're doing. He says, be convicted and stop what you're doing. Get up and keep going. Don't you dare give up. I've got more things for you to do. He says, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. He says, here's the truth. There's nothing that can separate you from my love, which is in Christ Jesus. You need to keep on going. You messed up, but that doesn't matter. I can still get you where you need to go. You took a wrong turn, but I'll still redirect you. That's the love of God that chose us. That's the great command. And then that's that first step. And that next step is doing that for other people. Is giving some of our brothers and our sisters, our children, that grace that God gave to us. Look, you messed up. You didn't do your homework. But okay, I'll work with you, and we'll get it done together. That thing you did really annoys me. But there's that scripture that says that love covers a multitude of sins. We don't need to fight about every little thing. Some things can be just, we can let it go. There's bigger issues we need to cover. But my love for you, we'll let that pass and we'll move on. Why? Because God did that for me. And so I can do that with you. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to get more into this next week. But just a couple of the first couple aspects of walking in freedom is walking in faith. God, I will not let go. I will continue, no matter how hard it is, and walking in love, following the great commandment. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. And as you go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads, I would like you to reflect on Paul's word. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Take a moment to reflect on how God has set you free. And then in verse 5 he says, "But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit of righteousness for which we hope." Reflect on your walk of faith in God. When you don't see what's next, you don't see where God may be taking you, that's where walking by faith comes in. We walk by faith and not by sight. Finally, as you reflect on these truths, please think about Paul's verse, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And how could we be loving people better? How can we accept the love of God once more for us? So, Lord, just want to ask for you to save us who are lost. I'd like to ask you to empower us who are weak. Lord, I'd like to ask you to fill us who are empty. And Lord, that we would have the strength not to let go of our faith, that we would open our hearts to receive your love and then to give it out to others. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.